Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Our goal is to equip economic developers with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. Each week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues that are challenging our industry. We believe that when leaders get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect and sponsored by Research on Investment. Today, I am joined by Timothy Downs, who is the Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Greater Durham Chamber of Commerce. Timothy's main focus in his work life is on really relationship building, whether that is with local officials, community leaders, industry executives, all in order to promote economic growth throughout the county. He's also a licensed attorney in Ohio and North Carolina. Timothy, I am so excited to have you here with us today on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here and excited for the conversation.
Awesome. Well, let's just dive right in. One of my favorite questions to ask on this podcast is how you kind of fell into the profession. As I just mentioned, you are a licensed attorney. You went to law school in Michigan. Can you give a Cliff Notes version of how you got to be in economic development and to the Greater Durham area?
Yeah, sure. So it's like many economic developers, I'm sure it's a bit of a winding path. And I like to think that I didn't necessarily fall into the profession. In some sense, I leapt into it because I was working for the city of Dayton, Ohio as an attorney in the civil division of their law department and doing a lot of environmental law work. And most of those cases, if you will, most of those jobs that I was working on were related to economic development because in Dayton, Ohio, there's a lot of brownfields. And So I learned a lot about economic development from an attorney perspective, from a law perspective. And I enjoyed doing the law. I still do. I've kept my license active ever since. But I had an opportunity to learn more about economic development and got very familiar with the staff that was there in the city of Dayton at the time and just decided to take a leap. And I was invited to apply for the deputy director position there in the city of Dayton. And happily took it and, was offered it and took it. And then spent the next 5 years doing economic development in the city of Dayton, which I think has provided a whole lot of, was a really good basis for me because I learned a lot about the profession in a place that wasn't just flourishing. Dayton is a wonderful city in a wonderful part of the state of Ohio, but was struggling to keep industry, was struggling to attract industry. So we were reinventing ourselves. We were looking at all the various aspects of economic development. But after about 5 years of that, my wife and I decided that we wanted to move south, as a lot of Northerners do, and looked for an opportunity and jumped at the opportunity to take over economic development for Craven County, North Carolina. Most people don't know Craven County, but they might know New Bern. New Bern was one of the original capitals of the colony of North Carolina and then one of the original capitals of the state of North Carolina, also the birthplace of Pepsi. So for 5 years, I led the economic development effort there. And that was fun because I was basically able to build a program from scratch. They had basically torn everything up and started from scratch, and they brought me in to do that. So that was a lot of fun. And again, a very different environment, a rural part of the state, and not a lot of attraction over the years. But we were able to do a lot with existing industry and built some great programs. And then after about 5 years there, decided that I wanted to get back to Raleigh, North Carolina, or at least the Raleigh area, which is, I went to school at NC State for my undergrad and had this opportunity to come up here and work for the Durham Chamber and jumped at it. So been here for about a year and a half now, and it's been an amazing ride. And I'm sure we'll get into some more of that later, but that's I guess the Cliff Notes version of how I got into the profession and where I am today.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, speaking of, what a ride it has been, right? If we're specifically talking, you've been there for a year and a half. So the last half year has been wild. Yeah. 2020 has been just insane, really. We've experienced a pandemic, that economic halt and then restart. And now we're starting to backslide in certain areas back into a halt. There's political divisiveness. There's racial reckoning. There's social unrest related to systemic racism. So when you're looking at like 2020, specifically, you know, from like January until now, what has been your biggest personal leadership challenge? And like, how have you navigated all this year, all that this year has delivered?
That's a great question. And I'm sure I've probably thought about it a lot more in just in passing as I'm doing my work. But I think the biggest thing for me And as most economic developers will agree, I would guess, I would hope, it's the isolation. That's the biggest challenge. Not being able to go and visit with businesses, not being able to meet with your colleagues, not being able to meet with prospective clients. That isolation has really challenged my motivation. So I've had to look for other ways to stay active. But I'm very grateful to say that Durham has really continued on a good, steady pace. We haven't had the drop off that a lot of areas have had. And my workload has been fairly consistent and at times very, very busy. We've got a lot of projects in the works right now. So that isolation really has been the biggest challenge for me. And that's translated into at times a lack of motivation. But again, we're doing well here. So thankful that we've been able to continue to have projects. And so all in all, it hasn't been too bad other than just, like you said, the unrest from a personal standpoint, and, you know, what's coming in the future, the unrest from, you know, community standpoint. And really Durham is kind of at the heart of all these issues. But thankfully, Durham has wrestled with these issues in the past as far as equity and equality and inclusion. And I think a lot of people believe, and I'm learning more and more every day, that we are kind of a leader in that area. So it's been good to see from that as well.
That's great to hear. And you're so right that isolation, it also trickles. We get so much of our social component, our social interaction, that kind of that meeting, like filling that bucket of social interaction from our work, yes. From meeting with clients, from seeing your team. So it's so easy for that to trickle down into the motivation bucket, right? Where you're just, you're just feeling down. And I think that's a very relatable challenge that you named. How did that go with your family? How are your, I know you have children. So yeah. how is that affecting them?
Well, again, we've been blessed. My family, my wife stays at home. Our kids are homeschooled long before this homeschooling thing started for most people. So it wasn't much of a change for us. And in some ways, it's been a blessing for me that I've been able to, you know, in the middle of the workday, just take a 15-minute break and go, you know, play a game with my son or just go chat with my daughters or whatever. But all in all, it's been good. I mean, we certainly have our, you know, our concerns. We certainly have our, you know, anxiety. But I think all in all, we're doing pretty well. And I'm very grateful that we've got a tight family. So I haven't had the troubles that I'm sure some have. But, you know, I think the thing that's been very interesting for me in working from home, as a lot of economic developers, you know, we go out into the community and we go and we meet and we visit with people. It's all about relationships. And so that isolation has been very prominent as far as this time. But working from home has been sort of this mixed blessing, where I find that it's very nice to have the flexibility and to have the, you know, sort of, you know, freedom to do your own schedule at your own pace. But also at the same time, I feel like we're actually in some ways meeting more. I feel like I've had more meetings, certainly online meetings, but just in general. So it's sort of been this weird mix of ebb and flow of pace and all that. So, but all in all, I can't complain. It's been a good few months for me, given the circumstances.
That's awesome. So when we're talking about those leadership qualities, what would you say is your strongest personal leadership quality? And how has that played out, especially this year?
Yeah, so I think certainly my legal training, my law degree, any lawyer will say this, you're taught to issue spot. You're taught to look at a problem and figure out all the angles. And that for me has been the best quality for me getting through this time, but also just in economic development in general. That coupled with being a sort of a jack of all trades. Before law school, I was an educator. I taught public and private school, math and science. I've got a background in obviously law. So all those things. And through my work in the city of Dayton, Ohio, Craven County, North Carolina, and now here in Durham, a broad, diverse knowledge base about economic development and things that affect the community. So that's been really, I think, the thing that's allowed me to be as successful as I have been so far is just that ability to connect the dots, issue spot, connect the dots, solve problems for people, and be truly a connector for people and issues.
Yeah. And what a year it has been to look at things from all angles, because it seems like the angles change every 10 minutes some days. Exactly. So we normally ask a question about going back in time and giving yourself 10 years ago advice. But in light of 2020, we have decided to change that question a little bit. What is the advice you would have given yourself in December 2019, kind of giving knowing what is coming at that time? what would you give yourself as advice in December 2019?
Yeah, I think maybe two things. And candidly, probably not much. I don't know that I would change much or have done a whole lot different. Because again, we've been fortunate to have a lot of work here in Durham. But I think two things. One, just from a personal standpoint, being more, more stable or more certain that, you know, these challenges are, while not normal or typical, they are not unlike a lot of challenges that you tackle them the same way. You can, you know, figure out solutions, both short-term and long-term. So those sorts of things, just being more prepared, I guess, mentally for, you know, what I remember I was having drinks with my boss and we were watching basketball and I think it was March 18th or March 12th, I guess it was. And we were, you know, anticipating the shutdown. And, you know, at that point, none of us had any idea that this would go on as long as it has or continue to go as it might. So I think just that, just being more mentally prepared for the situation. And then secondly, more on a professional level, having more of a knowledge base about how to help small businesses that are, you know, on the brink of closure. I mean, we've got a lot of small businesses here in Durham, specifically around retail, hospitality, that are, you know, like everywhere across the country, across the world, they're just struggling. And I just would feel better if I had a better knowledge base around that. But even that, my role here currently, I don't spend a lot of time with small business. Again, fortunately, we've got a lot of bigger industry happening here in Durham and growing and locating here. So I haven't had a lot of time or demand to work with small business in that respect. So again, I probably wouldn't change a whole lot, but those are a couple things.
Absolutely. Well, I especially love the mental preparation for what's to come. You know, one of the other answers we've heard a couple of times is take a vacation. I would tell myself to take a vacation right now because economic development, when there's a crisis, we don't slow down, we speed up.
That's right.
I've heard you mention a couple of times that, you know, the Durham area is very lucky to have a lot going on and a lot of work. So with the effects of the economic stop and start, working from home, potential of onshoring or reshoring of jobs, it has affected regions in vastly different ways. So what are you seeing in your community in terms of deal flow? You've said a couple of times that you guys have kept steady, if not busy, but are there any industries that are sticking out to you as being more or less active than normal? We'd love to hear what you're seeing.
Yeah. So North Carolina remains a strong state as far as attraction and growth. Our deal flow here in Durham remains strong and steady, much to a lot of our surprise. Not that we didn't think we had a strong economy, but there was an article that came out. Moody's Analytics did a study, and you know, again, who knows how all these things come together? But Durham was identified as one of the top 10 cities to come through this pandemic, the economic shutdown, strong. And so we are seeing that our life science sector is, I hesitate to speak too strongly, but booming. We've got a lot of projects that were announced last year in the life science sector, a couple more than announced this year, one during the pandemic. And so we're seeing life science just power forward like no one really expected, particularly in the R&D and biopharma manufacturing sectors, subsectors. So there's that. But what's also very encouraging is that we've had investment announced by developers, and developers continue to build buildings and go for site plan review for new projects and all those sorts of things. So all of that is really driven by the life science sector. We here in Durham and Research Triangle Park area, life science is a lifeblood, certainly for the economy. Our universities obviously are affected, but their ability to diversify and have been diversified also in tech and manufacturing, where we still are doing quite well. And that's, I'm so grateful that we've got that continued deal flow. And I think it will continue. I do think it's going to slow down even further for us, because I think we were riding a wave from 2019. But yeah, we're blessed.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. And when you're talking about, you know, you're riding that wave, you're working through the pandemic with the wave from 2019, but you also might be getting a little bit of an influx from industry as it's like starting back up in like, that's contributing to that extra deal flow. But it's always so nice to hear when a region is doing well and has experienced the pandemic. You know, it's been detrimental to many small businesses, but when at least the primary employers are still doing really well in an area, that's huge.
Yeah, and we're continuing to see strong real estate market. We're continuing to see a lot of a continued steady flow of in-migration, again, because of the university system, because of our Research Triangle Park and all of our life science work. It's also interesting, though, because we have, like many communities, we have a bit of a have and have not situation where a lot of our small business, which is really what makes Durham a very special place for those that haven't been here. I mean, downtown Durham is unlike anywhere else in the country, and it's got a history, it's got a vibe, a feel to it that people just love. And our greatest concern is that these small businesses go away. And certainly small businesses come and go, but we don't want to lose that feel that Durham has had. Certainly it doesn't lose its history, but you know, downtown is cool because you can walk and eat and entertain and all those sorts of things. And that's our greatest concern, that we continue to grow from a corporate side where we have these large employers doing very good work, very important work. But at the same time, we're hopeful that these small businesses come back and continue to make Durham that special place that it's been. Because ultimately, if that goes away, then it slowly erodes away at the thing that makes Durham, or at least one of the things that makes Durham a great place.
Yeah, it's such a complex puzzle.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, these are tough times. Those are tough problems that you have to look at all angles for to solve them or to try to not have it fall apart. How do you keep up your energy when times are tough? What you talked a little bit about, you know, maybe wishing to give yourself a little bit of a heads up to like mentally take care of yourself. So how do you do that?
Well, I'm getting better at it, but certainly breaking away. I mean, that's one thing. But first and foremost, my faith in God. I mean, that's one thing that's certainly kept me going through this time. But also my family, recreation with my kids, recreation with my whole family. We went whitewater rafting last week. It's, you know, just making sure that you have that balance or that, you know, the right equation. I hate to say work-life balance, that sometimes gets misconstrued, but the right equation, you know, the right mix of things. So yeah, that my energy very much comes from my family and my faith in God, but also just the desire to do more. I mean, I'm driven. I want to see Durham continue to grow in the right way, not just growth for growth's sake. But so I love a good challenge. So that's, look at that as a way to, you know, just sort of revive some energy and tackle something new. So
you love a good challenge, and a good challenge you're being served right now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I want to end on more of a, it's not really philosophical, but a deeper question that we like to ask from time to time. And especially in this time, it's so important to really examine what this means to you. So what does it mean to you to be an American?
Good question. Especially in these times. Yeah, I think the belief that anyone, regardless of their class or where they were born or what they were born into, can succeed. They have opportunities to get educated, to get a job, to that upward mobility is possible for everyone. You know, we sacrifice, we take risks, we work hard, but we have opportunities and we have choice. So I think that's really at the heart of it. You know, freedom, obviously, that's a big part. Free to believe what you want to believe, be who you want to be, regardless of your background. It's all about that opportunity. So, you know, I think that's being challenged right now in some ways, indirectly and directly, but I firmly believe in the American spirit. I firmly believe in you know, what this country was founded on, and that we'll come out of this and we'll be different for sure. And that's probably a good thing, but we'll be better for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, change never comes without growing pains. So
right.
Absolutely. Well, Timothy, I want to say thank you for taking time today to share your thoughts, get a little bit vulnerable with us, and really provide some awesome insights, not only into your leadership, but also what is happening in the greater Durham area. So thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate you.
My pleasure. Glad to do it. And thank you for doing what you do to spread education in this way. I think it's a very, very good thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi Faye, thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pools and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure, yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow, thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at gazelle.ai. That's Steve at gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.